Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 691 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today, July 10th, 2022, we are a video game podcast. So if you're not familiar with us, we like to talk about video games, but we talk about life as well. We like to think of ourselves as smarter, wiser, because we are just a little bit on the older side. But importantly, we buy our own beer. So,
yay.
Yeah, exactly. On the show today, we have two lovely individuals sporting a fantastic t-shirt that I think everybody should be wearing. We have Mr. Robin Turnipboy Tate on the podcast.
Hey, guys. Nice to be here. I'm just in from the beach. I've had a lovely, lovely day. And looking forward to being on the show. End of quote. Repeat the line.
Let's go, Brandon.
End of quote. Repeat the line.
Is this a test?
Oh, Christ, it is a fucking test.
Let's go, Brandon.
How can I know more about American stuff that's going on in the news, guys? It's ridiculous. End of quote. Repeat the line.
I hear you. No. End of quote. Repeat the line. That's from the Biden press conference the other day.
Oh, well, people
reading from the teleprompter. Yes.
End of quote. Repeat the line. End of quote. Repeat the line.
I don't fixate on the news these days. I think that's my biggest either issue or benefit, either way. Also on the podcast, making her triumphant return, Kim Woods.
Yeah, I've been away a while, family things and whatnot. So howdy, I'm back. But apparently, according to the thing here on Twitch, I'm rich. So whatever.
Rich. Yeah, you know. You don't look rich, like whatever. A rich to me, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, also, I'm severely lacking in the mustache area, but
aren't we all? Literally, we all are. I would like to point out, we do also have former Prime Minister Boris Johnson on the podcast. Although he has taken a vow of silence, he I know.
I'm stuck for a job. Come on the show. I forgot.
Yeah. All right. We're on every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast. And if you happen to be stuck out in the Central Time Zone, which, let's face it, nobody really wants to be in the Central Time Zone, but they just kind of end up there. It's 3 p.m. your time. We're on every Sunday. We will do an audio version as well. So if you want to just listen to us while you're grooving to the oldies, you are more than welcome to. We will put that out. Usually comes out the following day. And with that said, let's do a couple of birthday mentions. These actually, I think we mentioned them last week, but if we didn't, you know what? We're going to mention them again. Who cares? Roger, it's our show. Roger D'Arcy, on the 9th, he is turning 56 years old. I'm turning a new leaf, Robin. I'm just giving the actual age.
It's boring.
Wow.
I know. David Martin, on the 12th, 38.
Morty.
It's incredible. Yeah. Wow. So with that, we do want to wish them a special, special birthday.
It's your birthday. Yes, it is your birthday. It's your birthday. Yes, it is your birthday. It's your birthday. Yes, it is your birthday. We are back in sight. You're 1 year older than you were before. You're 1 year older than you were before. You're 1 year older than you were before. We are back.
All right. There you go. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, y'all.
It's, you know what? You should be excited about your birthday. My wife's is coming up. Don't say anything. Shh. It's an exciting time. You know, you're celebrating the birth of yourself. Speaking of celebrations of the birth, we're going to talk about the 4th of July because that happened. That was the birth of our nation.
Too right, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really cool.
Let's get into some story time. Hold on. Hold your horses there, Mr. Turnip.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
Okay, enough of that. All right, let's talk some story time.
Yeah.
The most illegals. Important thing.
You absolutely. Illegals. Just, illegals. It's funny, I posted a thing on WhatsApp that fireworks were illegal in California. And the night of the fireworks all over Los Angeles, the skyline was completely covered in fireworks. And that was pretty cool.
Well, and so again, this is why I love where I live in California. We're kind of like an island compared to the rest of California, a very more conservative area. We embrace guns. We embrace fireworks. And so, so we had a huge fireworks show for the 4th of July. And I found out, and this was kind of crazy, but apparently the town of Lincoln, which is where I live, we have the longest running fireworks show on an annual basis in the entire state of California. So
legal.
We are illegals in our state. But yeah, so they put on a great show. You know, and what's awesome is it's so close to our house. I mean, literally it takes us 5 minutes to get there. And it packs in easily, I would say, 5,000 people into that area to watch the fireworks show. But it very well may be far more than that. But it takes us all of about 5 minutes to get in because, you know, my son is disabled. So we actually go in through kind of a back entrance area that is for handicap parking, that kind of thing. I always make the joke, my son pays his way. And and so we just drove right in, found a spot, sat down. The fireworks show started up in about an hour from that point, and then we got back out within 5 minutes. We're back home. But I love 4th of July. It's such a great time of year. Kim, did you do anything for 4th of July?
I did. Actually, we did it on the 3rd of July. The restaurant up the road every year holds a big fireworks display. So we barbecue and invite the family down, and we all sit around and watch them, you know, blow up thousands of dollars worth of fireworks, you know, every year. So, and they've been doing it ever since I was a wee little thing. So, I mean, we've been doing it for a while now. So that's all what right. we did.
Yeah, I want to say that they were saying the fireworks show was like $10,000 a minute or something like that for our show. It's kind
I
of insane.
Believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so we did the whole 4th of July barbecue. My brother-in-law and his kids came up as well as a good friend of ours. And so cooked up all kinds of great food. We had tri-tip. We had hot dogs. We had... like Caesar salad. We had good baked beans. We had plenty of beer. We made Lynchburg lemonade. And then I made a homemade mac and cheese, baked mac and cheese dish.
Wow.
It was so good. And so served that up. We all were finishing up dinner and we're sitting around the table and I'm like, and someone's like, I think I smell pot. And then somebody else to the table's like, no, that's not pot. And I'm like, that smells like something's burning. Oh. And I'm like, what would be burning? And so I'm like, and I'm doing the follow the scent, right? And I go back into the kitchen and I look and the mac and cheese casserole is sitting on top of our electric stove range. It's just smoking up through the middle of it. And I'm like, ah, shit. I left the burner on.
Oh, shit.
So I turned the burner off. No, not for the beans. The beans were saved. No, for the mac and cheese. And so I'm like, I want to try and save it. And I start to, with the oven mitt, go to move the dish. And Cindy's like, don't move. And as soon as she said that, I slid the Pyrex dish literally 2 inches.
Oh, no.
And it just exploded everywhere. Ice, mac and cheese all over the place. A glass, I should say. All over the place. So, yeah. Oops is right. Apparently, Pyrex does not like moving from hot to cold surfaces.
No.
Yeah. So.
Well, you learn something new every day.
Yeah, yeah. The worst part about that really was the mac and cheese was just, of course, at that point destroyed.
Right.
But, oh, well, I know how to make it. I'll make it again. It was good stuff.
You had a really good night anyway.
Oh, we had a great night. Yeah, absolutely fantastic night. And then we played a game called
American. Like, whoa, pride.
You know, you do, especially when you get out to the park and you're celebrating and everybody's watching the fireworks display. My son was full on engaged with it, by the way, which is awesome. So just kept watching him looking up.
The pics were brilliant.
Yeah. We also played a game called Cornhole.
Yep.
So, Kim, I know you know what Cornhole is.
Yep.
Robin, do you know what Cornhole is?
I could make something up very quickly.
Well, let me tell you, when I first moved up here, I did not know what Cornhole was. I had never heard of it. Since being up here, seeing how popular it is, and now actually I've seen on ESPN, they actually have Cornhole tournaments. Yep. So in essence, it is a beanbag toss game. You have two different boards. They're, I think, 27 feet away is the regulations. And you're tossing four beanbags per team. And you each take turns tossing beanbags towards the board. At the very top of the board, it's kind of angled. So it's like at a 45-degree angle. In the hole scores 3 points. On the board scores 1 point. And, of course, if you knock somebody off, they don't get any points. If you knock somebody through the hole, they would get 3 points. It's a game everybody loves playing it. And so, it's not hard to pick up and play. I mean, it sounds
very like an American toned down version of the French game of, I think it's boules or bowls, where they play with steel balls and you throw a ball about 30 feet and then you throw heavier balls and whoever gets closest to them, or you can knock the other person out of the way. But yeah, that's beanbag. That would be, okay, I get that. Cornhole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So good. So I had a good time with that.
Clean fun. Yeah. And the drunker you get,
the better it gets. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not going to say that there were a couple of wild throws, but there were a couple of wild throws. Robin, so what did you do to celebrate the July 4th?
I can't remember. I'm so caught up. So caught up in because tomorrow is the 11th of July. And in Northern Ireland, that is what we call the 11th night. It's nothing to do with Shakespeare. But as you know, there's the two main factions of religions in Northern Ireland. There's a Protestant, Catholic. And on the 11th night, there's the celebration on 12th of July. There's lots of band parades by the Protestant people. But generally on the 11th night, they're out of a bonfire. And bonfires usually take place in every village or town or every community.
Is this when you guys would burn the witches?
No. you would burn Catholic effigies and stuff like that there. Anyway, over the last few years, some of these bonfires have got ridiculously big. And right. So much so, it's kind of crazy. They're usually made with pallets. Yeah, in the olden days, it was rubbish and old furniture and leave your wood here. But this year especially, it's went to a whole new level. I'm going to put a photograph on the feed right now. If you can see that popping up, this is an unfinished one, and this is in a town called Larn in County Antrim, a place called Craigie Hill. And this wasn't finished, if you can see that on the screen. And they were going for the record of the world's tallest bonfire. If you can see that, it's just ridiculous. It's an piece of engineering, a masterpiece.
Okay, it hasn't. Oh, there we go. Oh, holy smokes, that is quite the tall bonfire. Holy, wow.
It's not finished. And if you can see close up on that there, there's like little pallets sticking out where when they were building it, men were standing on those, handing pallet to pallet and pallet. And then they got this big, massive crane, and it got so big. And it's got the record of the world's tallest bonfire, and that will be set on fire tomorrow evening and all around Northern Ireland. Now, here's the thing. Last night, I don't know, Boomer, how tall it is. I must look it up. It's ridiculous.
That's ridiculously tall, yeah.
But last night, a chap fell off it and died.
Oh, no.
So it's so bad.
That might
put
a damper on the celebration.
Ouch.
Yeah. So well, I don't know. They'll all get pissed and yeah. So I don't know. Actually, I'll look up and see how tall it is. But it's ridiculous.
You can have the tallest bonfire, Robin.
It must be at least finished off at maybe 30 stories high, which is just crazy. Anyway, so that has happened.
No, that's exciting. That is pretty cool.
It's not. Well, it's not. We stay away from it all. We stay away from it all. It's kind of nutty. And yes, it's not quite a. They want to try and make it a festival, but because it is one side against the other, it's not that, you know. So it's,
there's no harmony.
Yeah, no, not really. No, it's not. It's not like it's a celebration bone. Like you would maybe have a bonfire on 4th of July, right? You know, but that would be for fun. This is no.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, look, you can have the tallest bonfire. We technically have the largest bonfires, I should say, in California. We call them wildfires, mind you, but those are our big bonfires.
Oh, I thought that was not the summer of 2020 or 2021 was the largest fires.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. Yeah. We've actually already had a couple wildfires, but thankfully, they have been on the spot this year, getting them taken care of. We've also had an amazingly cooler summer compared to the previous couple of years, even though it's a drought year and, you know, it's
dear not. God, Lake Mead's not there any longer. Lake Mead is ridiculous. My goodness. Holy crap. I mean, they're finding all the bodies and barrels that the mafia dropped in and all sorts of stuff. It's crazy how low that's gone.
It was bound to happen. But yeah, so okay, so 4th of July out of the way. Kim, let's turn to you. What else has been going on with you?
Oh, so many things. We got some family stuff going on, dear God. Y'all don't want to hear about that. You guys have been hearing about it anyway, but you know, family drama, and I have a feeling lawyers will be involved soon, so that'll be more stress. But anyway, aside from that, I did some things while I haven't been on the podcast.
Did your dog step on a bee?
No, he didn't do that. But I bought a PS5.
Nice.
There's that. I've been enjoying it so far. I've played a game on it so far because I kind of don't want to start a bunch of different things on it. I kind of want to stick to one game and get it finished and then move on to something else, unlike the Xbox, but whatever. Yeah, I got in a queue. PlayStation, Sony was actually having some, and I got in a queue, and I didn't think I had a tinker's dam of actually getting one, and lo and behold, I got a digital for Horizon Zero Dawn for West, the bundle for that, and it wasn't bad. It was only like $475 after everything was said and done, so I didn't think that was terrible, and yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. I thought the monolith was big, but yeah, this thing kind of shrinks the monolith a little bit.
I think that the thing that's deceptive about it, it's not so much even that it's tall, because I mean, right, when you stack it up next to the Xbox, they're pretty similar in height.
Right.
But the PS5 is really deep.
Yes, and it's longer. So yeah. I had to definitely make some room on the old shelf there to get in order to get it and the monolith to fit on the same shelf. But I got it to work. Impression so far is I like the controller better than the 3 and the 4. Because everybody bragged about how good the PS4 controller was and this, that, and the other, and I didn't really care for it.
Okay.
But it seems like with this one, it's heavier like the Xbox, because you know the Xbox controllers are heavier.
Right.
Well, this definitely felt like it's heavier, and it's not as cheap and flimsy as some of the, I don't know, I always thought the PlayStation controllers felt a little lighter and flimsier and whatever. So I like that this one's actually heavier, and it seems like, okay, this is going to sound bad, and it's me, so whatever, we'll roll with it. It fits better in my hand than the 4 and the 3 controller did, because they always seemed like they were smaller for me.
It's important. It's important that it fits in your hand, Kim.
Yes, indeed. But anyway, aside from that, it looks nice on the big TV and all that, so.
Okay.
If I had one complaint, it would be the stand that they sent with it. It seems a little cheap and cheesy.
You're not the only person that's complained about the stand. And you have to use that because you're putting it horizontal.
Right.
Not vertical.
Right.
So.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's supposed to apparently snap on there, and I kind of, from what I took, is it's supposed to stay, but if you move the PlayStation 5 any at all, that stand wants to come loose. So, I mean, I guess as long as you're not moving your PlayStation 5 a lot, which I guess I'm not, once it's where it's at, it's pretty much going to be there. It's fine, but I would kind of like it better if it would snap on there and actually stay attached to the machine. So, you know, just a little hint there.
It's funny. I mean, I haven't... it's weird. I haven't been that close to one yet.
Right.
And yesterday morning, I was getting some new boots on my car, and I had to kill a couple of hours. Taylor was in martial arts class. Took Charlie to open a bank account, blah, blah. And we had time to spare. Imagine my son opening a bank account to lodge money.
That's crazy.
Wow. And we went into the smelly shop, and there's two things I was surprised at, as how cheap the PS5 looked. They had one up on display, And the other thing that surprised me, nothing to do with PlayStation, was how small the Xbox Series S is. It's minute. It is tiny. But the plastic fins, the way there was light, like a spotlight behind this thing, you could sort of see through the plastic. It looks like a monster.
It's got a light on it when you leave it in rest mode that is on all the time. And it's not super bright, so it doesn't bother me that bad. I mean, considering it's in my bedroom and my bed actually faces the TV and whatnot. So it's not terrible, but I don't know if there's a setting you can actually turn that off or not.
I would like to think there has to be, because that would be annoying.
Right, so I have to do some digging on that. And the other thing that annoys me, which this has gone with all PlayStations over the years, whenever the damn thing doesn't get shut off, whether your power goes out or whatever, the annoying thing that pops up when you first turn it on, that, oh, hey, this wasn't, you know, turned
shut
off
shut down
correctly.
Properly.
Yeah, and it beeps at you and yells at you.
Makes you feel bad.
Yeah, it makes you feel terrible, because you're sitting there and I'm like, well, the power went off. I couldn't do anything about that.
Kim, you're a bad person.
Meanwhile, the Xbox is just sitting over there. Yeah, let me boot this shit up for you so you can get to play.
Yeah, we're American. We can handle this. Yeah.
PlayStation 5. So far, I'm liking it. And like I said, I got the digital version, so it's a little cheaper. And Stray's going to be out in a few days, so that'll be nice.
Yeah. Now, I will just say this, and then we'll get into this, obviously, when we get into the games that we've been playing.
Right.
I am surprised the first game that you played on your PlayStation was Kena: Bridge of Spirits and not the game that came with your bundle.
Well, I haven't played the first one yet, so I want to be able to play it first before jumping into the sequel.
Okay,
There's a method to my madness.
What is it? What are we talking about here?
Horizon Forbidden West.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she got the bundle with it.
All right.
The game I played.
You've redeemed yourself, Kim.
Thank you. That makes sense. I'd like to think, you know, there is a method somewhat to my madness, whatever there is. But anyway, and I also got my Geralt of Rivia statue with Roach that I ordered, I want to say last year, I think. Either last year or late 2020.
Okay.
So anyway, I didn't know it was supposed to show up. I've been waiting for it, well, pretty much since I bought it. And one day, lo and behold, I got a tracking number, and I'm like, well, what's this for? And it was my statue. It finally showed up. And of course, the first thing I did putting it together was break the frickin' crossbow off of Roach. So I had to get super glue out, and I put a little dab on it and fixed it, and it's fine. If you didn't know I broke it, you wouldn't know.
Right.
I'm not planning on selling it, so it's fine by me.
Always know.
Now, have you put this, is this sitting in the bed next to you on the pillow? Or?
No. Oh, dear God, no. No, but it is up on the shelf above the PlayStation and the Xbox with my other girl statue, so it's fine. No, I keep the one where he's in the bathtub. That one, no, I'm just kidding.
That one sits next to the bed. I get it. No, it makes sense.
Yeah, that one sits next to the bed. Other than that, like I said, the boys are coming home today, so I'm super psyched about that. Remember here, the last time I was on the podcast, I talked about our mice problem.
Yes.
We are on the uphill slide of our mice problem, thank God. So,
did you watch that episode of Love's Share?
I haven't yet, because I need to.
And, you really do, Kim.
Yeah.
You need some of those tools.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, we got mouse traps, and I found some pet-friendly mouse poison. Like I said, if you don't want to hear about mouse murder, now might be a time to tune out. I don't know.
Everybody wants to hear about mouse murder.
I know, right? And the crossing point is we actually got one in the house. And that's a big nope. And I mean, I know I've got house cats, but as everybody knows with cats, sometimes they're mousers, sometimes they aren't. Mine apparently are not. They're assholes that way. So I got these mouse traps that exterminators use. They're not the regular, mouse traps. We've all seen mouse traps before. They're the, alligator kind of looking thing.
Yeah, they're like an alligator clip.
Yep.
Ironically, after the last podcast, we talked about this. I then went on a mouse trap search to look at other options, because I know we get occasional rats into the attic, and so I'd like to annihilate them.
Right, I'm right there with you. So, I got a six-pack of those. Believe it or not, we have one that's missing because the mouse was apparently stupid, or I don't know, maybe not because he survived, but he got his ass caught in the mouse trap. So he drug the mouse trap off somewhere in the mudroom that we're not sure where. There's a pallet in there that's got wood pellets for our stove sitting there, so I'm guessing that's where he's at. So I ended up having to put more of them out, and I, like I said, we got some in the house next to our stove, and I put two there, and I kid you not, in the span of 3 days, we've caught 6 mice.
Wow.
And the thing of it is, the funny part of it is, I'm standing at my sink doing dishes, and the stove is behind me, and one day I was standing there, and I heard the cat's toys go off, thinking there was a cat behind me playing with this toy. I turned around, there's no cat toy on the floor, and no cat, and I'm like, all right, I'm fucking hearing things, what the hell is that? Well, come to find out, there's one of these cat toys. It's the ball with the bell in it underneath our stove. Don't ask me how it got under there. I don't know. And I think one of the mice running back from the stove to the cabinet had tripped the sucker off. And that's how I figured out we had mice in the house.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Have you found out where they're coming in from, though? That's the most important thing.
But I'm guessing they're coming in from where the gas line runs down the wall to the cook stove. I think that's where they're coming in at. Dad disagrees. He thinks they're coming somewhere else. Yeah, that's my thought. But it's been 3 days, and we haven't caught anymore, so I'm hoping, you know, that's the end of it. And then we've caught shitloads out in the mudroom where they originated from. I don't know. We probably caught half a dozen in a week out there. So between the traps and the poison, I think we're finally putting an indoor or mouse infestation, thank God.
I love it. All right, more mice. so ironically, this will segue nicely. Your war on mice, my war on moles continues. Right? It's a seasonal thing for me. So I started noticing signs of moles in the backyard. I'm like, ah, crap. So I have invested in they're basically solar-powered stakes that vibrate. Mm-hmm. And so I've placed a few of those out in the backyard. But in my investigation of looking for the mole signs of the moles, I've also discovered signs of a snake.
Oh, no.
And the question is, what kind of snake? And I don't know, because our area, we do get rattlesnakes. And so they're pretty common. So while I don't mind a gardener snake, you know, something that's going to kill maybe a vole, I also don't want to deal with a rattlesnake in my backyard. So I also invested in some snake repellent. So that was my morning. I mowed the lawn, cleaned up the yard, and then went about putting in all of these different repellent devices. Who knows if they're actually going to work? My hope is they do.
Fingers crossed.
But yeah, we'll see.
Damned critters. Anyway,
damn wildlife.
I know.
The world
right?
would be better without it.
Oh, definitely. Some days I wonder. But last but not least, calendar day, because I haven't been on here when the month started.
I was literally talking about this with my wife last night and talking about how Kim loves to show us her calendar her men and pussies.
That's it. And since it's my birthday month, they actually gave me the nice guy. So I'm tickled by that. I think it's a birthday present just for me. I could be wrong, but whatever. So this month we have Nathan and Didja. I think it's the cat's name. I don't know.
Nathan and Didja.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's an Australian thing, Didja. I don't know, like didgeridoo, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, we have Nathan and Didja. So, personally, I like Nathan. He's like my favorite so far. So, there you go. Happy birthday to me.
Can I suggest that no one searches for the term men and poopies, pussies on Google?
I know, right? How is that not a wise idea? Don't do that.
No, so, I think that's a pretty safe piece of advice there. All right. Thank you for that.
That's it for me. And like I said, thanks for listening to me blather about my current family situations. I appreciate it. So,
no, okay. We are all here. This is what family's for, right? Shout out to Boomer, by the way. I see Boomer in the chat. Thanks for listening in, Boomer.
Definitely.
He's already been commenting quite a bit on Robin's tall Lego statue. Robin, aside from your upcoming celebration of hatred, what would you call that celebration?
That's pretty good.
Celebration of hatred, yeah. Let's talk about the tax man.
Oh, fuck. So this little beauty arrived for me this week, this documentation here. And this documentation is about £7,000 standing now from the tax man, and I have to pay it by the end of the month or I'm a bad boy. I don't want to go into it. There's no point going into detail. It's money I owe, and money I didn't realize that I owed. It's because I get paid quite a bit of money, and I shouldn't complain. But at the same time, Fuck.
It's never fun when you get that lump sum bill, right? And if you don't expect it to come, even though you owe it and you own up to it, that is never a good feeling. I definitely know this.
I spoke to them in February of 21. Okay. And I have in the notes of it. And they said, no, there's new legislation coming through. It should be, you know, we'll be in touch, blah, blah, blah. So then there's almost a year and a half later, the legislation changed. And they went, yeah, well, we thought you weren't going to have to pay it, but now you are. So tough.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. And if you don't pay it by the end of the month, we're going to start charging you interest. Anyway, we had a great day. We went to the beach today. We're at the zoo yesterday. A good time with all the kiddies at the zoo. The zoo in Belfast is on the side of a friggin' mountain. I swear you not, it is kind of nutty. Belfast is in a valley, and it's on the side of one of these valleys, and it's like a 45 degrees incline all the way up to the top, and you work your way to the top and then all the way to the bottom. We go around, and it's great for tiring out kids and adults. So we're there today. We got up, we went off to the beach, and we've spent all day on the beach. We just got in about half an hour, 3/4 of an hour before the podcast started. So it was a matter of getting, and we had a couple of extra foster kids this weekend. We've had them before, our Irish Muslim friends, and they were back for another blast, and they had a great weekend, and they were picked up there again just before this all started. And it's been a busy weekend so far. It's sort of a holiday weekend because of the weekend of hate. And there's an official holiday on the 12th of July in Northern Ireland. It's like, to put an example, it's like Christmas Day. Everything shuts. Okay. You know, it is a Christmas Day type holiday. And one half of the community loves it. And another half of the community go along with it. So, and take their day. But I'm taking tomorrow off and Tuesday off. It's usually Tuesday, Wednesday. But because I work for a company in the south of Ireland who have the only thing they have like that would be St. Patrick's Day. Normal.
I mean, I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, you guys are, I'm just gonna say this now, I think you guys are the actual first country to actually ever recognize and celebrate Amazon Prime Day.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so. Love it. Yeah, yeah. It's right, 12th of July, isn't it? 11th, 12th, and 13th, something
like
there. Yeah.
There you go.
It's funny, when we go, the Facebook memories that pop up, which are kind of cool. But Facebook memories now, believe it or not, Greg, five years ago, at the moment, every day, all the pop-ups are you're in California.
Five years ago,
2017.
Oh my! Okay, that kind of blows me away.
Wow!
It still feels like it was just like 2 years back.
Yeah. Again, COVID had that effect on things.
Yeah.
So I haven't been on my paddleboard all year, and I brought it with me today. And the sea was just a little bit rough, but I did have the wetsuit on, and we were in doing some bodyboarding today. And that's the Atlantic Ocean. And the last time I was in the Atlantic Ocean was at Christmas time, but on the other side at Daytona Beach,
Much
in Florida. Not much. Yeah. Guinness. Yeah. The kids came out blue. Some of them, some of them have wetsuits and some of them don't. And some of them, but it was like me in the 70s when I was playing on the same beach as kids. Wetsuits were only for very posh people. So that was it. Now, on Friday, I was traveling a lot. I was away on Thursday evening, vandalizing hotels as I do.
Right.
I came up and as I was driving up my knee, I was helped. There's a big lorry load of equipment going into a site, and I give the guys a bit of a hand getting up the lorry, and I must have twisted a knee. And my knee is really odd yesterday and even today. And just, you're not going on out in that paddleboard with a bad knee and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know what it is. I've been putting that peony gel on it. I don't know. I can't remember hitting it, but it's like an ouchie. Mm-hmm. It's like a swollen knee or something, or a twisted knee. I never had a sore knee before. Oh, that was kind of odd. Anyway,
I wish I could give some advice on this.
Maybe an old man thing. Maybe that's what it is.
It could be.
It's probably an old man thing. And finally, I've started to catch up with Yellowstone again.
I
dropped off halfway through season 2. So okay. I've started to catch up there again, and it is kind of wonderful. And I always think of the casino beside you, Greg.
Yeah,
that's the Yellowstone guys casino. Probably in there. Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's kind of good. But yeah, busy week. I was traveling quite a bit this week. I had a good week this week, apart from the tax bill. Busy. And, but enjoyed myself this week as well.
So, excellent.
And a couple of days off, and here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Celebration of hate. Gotta love it. All right. Outside of blowing up Pyrex dishes and playing some cornhole, yesterday we went did a little wine tasting trip. So one of the wineries we belong to, they do release parties, which is just a glorified way of saying come and do wine tasting, and we'll reserve the winery for just wine members. And so, you know, they do a little bit extra for you kind of thing. You know, they'll give you some nibblies to go with the wine. It's a little bit above and beyond what they normally give you, which is just usually crackers, maybe some cheese. But as we're going there, I'm like telling my wife, I'm like, okay, look, we don't need any more wine. We're picking up a shipment. We don't need to buy anything anymore. You know, we're going to get 4 bottles of wine. That's more than enough, because all we've been doing is drinking a lot of white wines over the summer. So our reds are pretty much stocked. I don't know if you can see on the ground. There's a box. That box is full of wine. Yeah. We don't have room for that wine.
I tell you, we're the same. It's like bloody rabbits at the moment. Our wine is breeding. I'm doing my best to keep it down.
Yeah.
It's taking a lot of work.
Yeah, I just was laughing. I'm like, how did we so we came home, and I think like I said, we literally have no more room for about 12 bottles of wine. So we're just going to have to start drinking more responsibly, of course.
That's the spirit.
Yeah. I was in the supermarket the other night thinking I had to get a few bits and for the zoo day. And I'm going, I'll get a nice bottle of rum for the weekend. I went, no, Robin, just hold off. You've got plenty of wine. And I was so proud of myself. So I'm going to work my way through the wine this weekend.
All right.
Prosecco to go to, and I've lots of nice whites and a few wee rosies in there. And what the hell? Why not?
Yeah. Why not? Why not indeed? A couple shows. Been watching Stranger Things, the latest season. The wife and I have been enjoying it. I will say it still feels a little. Obviously COVID, I think, has impacted the show in that it doesn't quite still have the Goonies vibe to it like it did. Like early on Stranger Things, you get like full Goonies vibe, which I love the Goonies movie. And so, you know, this has that in spades. Now that they're all older, it doesn't have quite as good a Goonies vibe to it. It's still there, but just not quite as much. I'm enjoying it. Don't get me wrong.
Is there a Kate Bush track in this, running up that hill? Is there? Running up that hill. Because it's number one in the UK, and I think it's from Stranger Things soundtrack.
I don't know. I don't. Okay. I'm not caught up on the latest episodes, mind you. So I'm only like episode 3 in the season 4, whatever it is. Mm. But I'm enjoying it. It definitely feels a bit darker this go round, but who knows? I did finish watching the season of The Boys.
Oh, very good.
And yes, more of The Boys. I very much enjoyed this. It gets a bit over the top sometimes, but I mean, in all honesty, every time I think of heroes, if I think of superheroes in the reality of the world, this is probably what we would be getting.
Yeah.
This is probably closer to the truth than this idealistic, you know, view we have of superheroes that we get from Marvel and DC. You know, half of them, you know, the heroes, you know, you don't have villains. You just have heroes that are either a-holes or they're good guys. Anyway, The Boys, fantastic. Very much enjoyed the season. It sets up nicely.
I love The Deep. The Deep is class. I mean, the last episode I watched, he wanted to, his girlfriend that he loved, and he wanted to maybe introduce something a bit more exciting to their sex life. And
he's a character.
She went along with it and then realized that it was an octopus that he wanted to go to bed with. And the octopus wanted to taste her. And that was just a step too far.
it gets nutty, and it doesn't stop. But I will say it sets up great for the next season.
It put me in the mood, but I went to the butcher shop and you couldn't buy live octopuses, and the dead the dead ones didn't really do the thing. I mean, calamari and my wiener didn't really work.
No. All right, and last, I'm just gonna step away from that. I'm just avoiding that.
I guess you could have got the lobster or crab or something.
The Terminalist is a new series on Amazon Prime. Chris Pratt plays the lead role in it. I'm only like about a quarter of the way into the first episode, but so far so good. Kind of liking what I'm seeing. The Terminalist.
Okay.
So it's about a Navy SEAL operator. And that's the most I will say about it. I don't want to spoil anything, but so far so good. I guess it's not, critics have been a little bit harsh on it, but there was an actual, no, I think they didn't like, how they portrayed some of the operation stuff, but one of the Navy SEALs came forward and said, we didn't make this for critics. We made this for the actual operators and the people in the, in the service. So, I will keep watching it. I've enjoyed what I've seen so far. So, The Terminalist. So far, so good. Okay.
Stuff.
We can dive into... well, Kim, look. Yep. Last week we had a cheap knockoff of you. And you did not do a terribly good Kim Woods impression. Oh, so, no. I think we should run through real quickly the games that we get for free that we pay for. Before we dive into our actual games.
Okay, we can do that. Scroll down there for a minute. Because, All righty, your game with gold for July, which whoever filled these out, thank you, because obviously I didn't get to it, so I appreciate that. I was kind of slacking, sorry. Games with gold for July, we have Project High-Rise Architects Edition, which is available now till the 15th, which isn't very far away. Beasts of Maravella Island, which I fired up today, but I didn't really play, so I'll give it another go sometime, which is available now to the end of the month. Relicta, which I don't know what it is, but anyway, it's available July 16th through July 15th. And Thrillville, Off the Rails, which is kind of like a roller coaster tycoon sort of thing, I think, which is available now to the 15th. And after that, there will be Torchlight, the original Torchlight, which has been free before, apparently. It is available the 16th through the end of the month, so... Go get your free games with gold, because come October, there will no longer be any 360 games in that.
Hello, foreshadowing.
Right. PlayStation Plus for July, we have Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time for the PS5 and PS4. The Dark Pictures, Man of Medan?
Medan. Man of Medan.
I knew that, I just couldn't say it. For the PS4. And then we have Arcade, that's what I was thinking, because it's not quite Armageddon, and it's not quite Arcadegeddon, I guess that would be the thing.
Gesundheit.
Yeah, exactly, thank you. For the PS5 and PS4. Anyway, go get your PS Plus games. I don't really have to pronounce them well for you to know that they're there. I'm not even really doing a good impression of me, but anyway. Amazon Prime games for July, we have Maniac Mansion, Suzerain Fishing, North Atlantic. That's my guess.
That might be Suzerain and then Fishing North Atlantic. I think that might be a blending of two games. That might be my fault.
You might be right, because I've heard of the first one, at least vaguely. I don't remember the fishing part in it. Thank you. All right, we have Suzerain, and then we have Fishing North Atlantic. Apparently two different games. Fail Seal, Arbiter's Mark. And scrolling down some more, we have... Oh, Prime Day! Oh, if you have the Prime thing, there's a bunch of games they're going to give you. What is it, like over 30, I think?
Yeah, it's crazy. There's a ton of games that they're giving away up until July 13th. And then they're actually going to have stuff happening on the actual celebration of Hate Days.
Uh-huh. Hey, I'm going to put this to Amazon Marketing.
Oh, there you go. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of games. If you have a Prime Day, or you have a Prime, so when Prime Day show up, go claim your free Prime Day games.
There you go.
Stadia Pro, which is still a thing. We have
It's
Sympathy,
really not. It's really right? not.
It's not, but they're still giving you free stuff anyway, just if you're still one of those suckers who have your subscription. We have Centipede Recharged, Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach, Those Who Remain is also Those Who Remain on Stadia Pro. Anyway, we have Worms WMD, Rogue Book, Fast and Furious, Spy Racers, Rise of Shifter, which is spelled annoyingly. What is that, Leet Speak?
It's Leet Speak, there you go.
Yeah. And then we have Epic Games, we have Gene Forge. No, we don't, because all of those are already over. So I don't know what the Epic Games ones are, so anyway, there you have it. Oh, no, wait, yeah. Scroll down further. We still have a couple, I guess. Sorry, my bad, I didn't scroll down far enough. We have Ancient Enemy, which is available the 14th. Killing Floor 2, which is also available to the 14th. And Kim
and then
Possible.
Your game.
What? Kim Possible. I don't think it's Bathtub Bubbles, but we'll go with that. It's also available to the 14th. So there you go. Get your Epic Games. That one really sounds epic, let me tell you. Yeah. Sounds a little like porn, but all right. There's like some gamer girl thing on Twitch. You know, she's selling her bathtub bubbles or something. Weird.
Jason's probably looking it up as we speak. all right. Hey, shout out to Lord in the chat. All right, let's talk about games we have been playing.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Okay. The first one, I think we need to go to Robin because this is really, this is more like a PSA announcement, public right. service announcement. Robin, let's talk about drinking and driving and Assetto Competizione Complainione.
Okay, so I've had some decent sessions this week. I am improving. I'm really chuffed actually with myself because when you're playing multiplayer online with real humans, the problem seems to be... I'm not very good, or I hadn't been very good at all, and I finished a few races. It was last night again, thanks to Love Island, that when it comes on I clear out to my office because I'm not watching that drivel, and I come out and play for a couple of hours, and so I finished a few races, and literally I was only a few seconds or 5 seconds behind the winners. And you know, so
okay.
Yeah, multiplayer lobbies are difficult, as you can imagine. In the old days of Modern Warfare, for instance, we got there, you get a lot of dickheads. So we take a track like Monza in Italy. So you this big starting straight at the beginning, and it goes straight into a chicane.
Right.
And what all the YouTube guys say to you about learning this game is never play Monza. Never play Monza. Because what happens if you're in a crash, whether it's caused by you or by somebody else, your safety rating is brought down. And your safety rating along with other ratings have to go up so you get into the good multiplayer lobbies. So in Monza, what happens is you have 24 cars. Maybe the people that have qualified well or get into those corners as quickly as they can. But you can be rest assured that 15 people with cold tires and no experience of the track come belting in at 200 miles an hour into that chicane and cause major pileups.
Oh, yeah. So what about it's 15 cars going into a small funnel.
Yeah. So what I've ended up doing in some of the races now is even if I qualified up front, I've been letting the pack overtake me and then making
Let
my
the
way
carnage
through
the, happen. Right.
Through, yeah. through the carnage and work my way through. So that's been really, really good. Now, in the single player, which I'm interested in the campaign as well, because it accounts for all of these stats as well. And the campaign had this, you had a 2-hour race to take part in. In Paul Ricard in France. It's quite a boring track. I really like it. Anyway, and I thought, I'm going to do it. And quite at the beginning, probably am, Lord. Was one of the people at the beginning pelting at 200 miles per hour. Kept on getting disqualified and then half an hour in and rage quitting. And I had a good go at it at the beginning of the week and thought, yeah, I'm going to get this out of the way. So I'm an hour and a half in, all is going well. And I have my glass of wine beside me. And I thought, I'm going to... So in Paul Ricard, there is one this exceptional thing where there's a straight, which is about a mile long. So I have to reach down to get my wine. And I take let go of my new wheel, which is unbelievable force feedback, fantastic. So as I go down to reach, get my glass of wine, the wheel starts to wobble, it goes bananas, and I end up in a barrier. 1 hour and a half later, there is no rewind, there is no do-overs, I'm done. So yes, absolute rage quit. But I did complete it the other night, and I'm thinking, yeah, I must be at nearly the end of the single-player campaign. And I have one more race to do in the single-player campaign. Okay. And it is in Spa in Belgium. And it is 4 hours long.
Oh dear God.
Four hours long.
I'm sorry. Okay. That is too much. That's a bit ridiculous. I mean, that is... There's a level of commitment and insanity to that, if you ask me. That's asking a lot of your average gamer.
You can't pause it. Well, you can pause it in the single player, but you can't save it and come back to it. You could put your console in hibernation, but it'll lose connection with the wheel, and there could be all sorts of weird problems there. And that's kind of funny. The new wheel is fabulous. The feedback in it is just phenomenal.
How's the headset working out?
Really, really well. Again, haven't been chatting a lot on it. I've been putting it on without the headphones, so haven't been chatting, but it is lovely. In fact, I took the headset away with me when I was traveling this week, and I actually listened to a movie on it as well. Just really awesome. I love the sound is fab. But as far as the racing goes, I'm considering buying myself a pair of gloves. Some Sparco racing gloves because the wheel is
I love you,
tactile.
Robin. I want pictures of this, though. I want you to be in a full suit. I want you to have gloves on. Yep. And you have to get some of those. We get them all the time on our commercials, but they're like these ridiculous 3D sunglasses that they help you see in HD. I think you need to be kitted out to your nth degree while you play.
Every serious racer. I mean, when I was away on the hotel, I watched this guy called Jardier, and he's brilliant. He's set a course. He's from the Czech Republic, in English, but his English his English is quite heavily Czech Republic. His English isn't perfect, but he is so energetic. He is so happy, a lovely, lovely guy. And he's making a living out of this now. And there's another guy called Jimmy Broadbent, who's now, he's stepped even over from sim racing into real life racing as well. Okay. So his career is, and funny, he was actually interviewed, I've seen a YouTube there this week, interviewed with Richard Hammond from the UK Top Gear at his garage, and they were bringing YouTubers in and to talk to them, sim racers, and very, very interesting. But this guy, Jardier, really, really good. But nearly all of those guys will wear gloves and they will have their little proper racing shoes on as well.
How funny. God, I need to see this.
Now, those guys don't wear belts, but if you look at any of the sim guys, I mean, they will, especially the ones with movement on their seats, they have the four-point harness seats and everything. It's kind of ridiculous. Lord, yes, I play in full cockpit view. I would never, Kim, in Forza Horizon, stuff like that, it's sort of behind the car, the view that's on the screen right now, but I am in car for realism.
I cannot believe we're actually getting to the point where we're probably going to be considering an actual cock cage for you, for your cockpit.
Look, I'm still having a ball. It's very, very
cool. That's all that
matters. I'm really enjoying it. So,
Boomer
has a friend who wears them when he plays. Boomer, what does he wear? A cock cage or gloves or the shoes? I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Really, really good. And the depth, again, I'm starting to tweak the car in silly ways, but there's, you can tweak the dampers in the car and the tire pressures. Now, all of these things have a significance and importance throughout the game. There's so many things you can tweak, and the level of difficulty ramps up with your skill level. So it's kind of cool.
All right.
Kind of cool.
Okay. Awesome.
So having a good time with it. Sorry, good. I'm not playing anything else. I'm just, again, my time. Oh, sorry. What I was saying, reason I mentioned Jardier was, when I went away on the hotel, he was on, and he was there's some new DLC on the PC has been released, some new tracks, Kota in Texas, the Circuit of the Americas, Watkins Glen, and there was another one been released, and he had like a 2-hour stream, and I watched it all.
Wow.
In my hotel, watched his whole races, yeah, and joined him with the chat, and I actually subscribed to him and became a paired up member now, and so
you are all in.
I'm invested. I'm invested.
All right. Super. Okay.
Cool.
Kim, let's talk about it. Kenna Bridget of Spirits. Kenna Bridge of Spirits. You've been enjoying this, I take it.
I am. I bought it, I don't know, a long time ago, because it was the deluxe version, which gave you the PS4, the PS5 version. I don't know, it was on sale for like $30 or something. So anyway, I bought it, and when I bought the PlayStation 5, I kind of made a commitment to myself that, you know, I was going to fire it up more than, you know, once a leap year. So I'm working on that. I've actually, you know, I fired up a lot of times during the week in the afternoons when I don't have anything else to do, which will soon change, but whatever. But Kenna, Bridge of Spirit, she's a spirit guide, I guess you'd say. And she helps trapped spirits or whatever cross over from the real world to the spirit world. And along the way, she collects, of course, it's an action adventure game, and there's collectibles because they've got these little, it's funny, these little black furry critters, I guess you'd call them. They're like minions, except not exactly. So you got to collect these things. I think I'm up to like 35. And of course, they don't tell you where they are. You've got to go find them. And there's that. And you can collect little hats for the little fellers, and that's kind of funny. It's good so far. I mean, I'm enjoying it. There's been a few times I've had to, you know, pop up Google and be like, all right, how in the hell am I supposed to beat this? Because, you know, I have no idea. But other than that, finding the little, what they're called, rots is what the little minion things are called. So finding those little fellas, finding the hats, I was thinking there was something else you had to do, but you've got a bow and you've got a staff, so there's different things you can do. And it's all right. Of course, there's a big bad guy at the end that I'm apparently trying to track down and eventually defeat or cross him over or something like that, because he's also a spirit that is apparently trapped. And it's pretty good. It scratches that itch. This is
the best recommendation ever. It says all right.
It does. It looks
well, I mean,
fable.
It's at first,
like, sort of
when
fable,
I first started.
Fable-wise.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started to play it, it was a little too cutesy, I guess.
Okay.
Because you have, like I said, you have little minion type guys and everything else. But the more I got into the game, the more that didn't bother me so much. So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you like those type of games, and like RCGC, she played it and she really liked it too. So. I think my biggest complaint at first was you didn't get the bow right off the bat. So as you're going through it, and you meet up the guy with the guy that gives you the bow.
The bow.
Yes. You have to eventually backtrack and find all the things that you couldn't get to before because you didn't have the bow. So that's a little, you know, that's
well,
a little.
I guess this kind of Metroidvania-esque, if you will.
Yeah, I would say that.
Did you finish Tunic, Lord is asking?
Not yet. I'm close, but I have, and you'll know this, but I have the mountain door puzzle left, and I have, I think it's the gold wall puzzle left, and there are a lot of those left, right, up, down sort of things, and the one for the mountain wall, I kid you not, the wall of text is like yay long, and yeah, I'm having trouble. Apparently somewhere in that putting in left, right, up, down sort of thing, I'm goofing up somewhere, so I can't get the door to open to get the last couple of pages, so I'm kind of taking a break from Tunic at the moment. I wish there was some sort of cheat so you could get past that. Because I'm kidding you not. You got to put left, right, up, and down like 30 times.
If you need to remember what left is, just do this.
So I haven't finished Tunic 8, but I did. Well, I kind of jumped the gun a little early and fought the big bad or whatever you want to call him there at the end. And I got the bad ending. But you can go back and redo that and get the better ending. So that's what I'm trying to do now. But I got to have all the manual pages, and like I said, I've got two that are stuck behind these doors that take forever to do the little D-pad code thing. And holy crap. Maybe I just need to give the controller to Anthony and be like, here, read this list and put them in, because apparently your aunt is too fucking slow to do it, because it's not tripping for me. So, I don't know. But I liked Tunic. I think these big puzzle things that they put at the end of this for all this is a little ridiculous. I mean, I can see when you have to do it like 10 times, but like I said, you've got to do this like 30 times in a row. and apparently you can't really stop, otherwise it doesn't go in right. Yeah, laugh at that one. That was funny. Anyway.
Right when I'm drinking, Kim. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. So anyway, so I think they should, I don't know, I guess they can't really fix it, but I don't know, they should have given you another way to do those instead of just sitting there and getting arthritis in your thumb trying to put all that in. Whatever. Anyway, that's my mini rant on Tunic. Other than that, I've been playing, I played Red Dead Redemption 2, believe it or not, here the other day, because I was this close to the Pony Up achievement, which is spending $5,000 between all the stores. Mm-hmm. So I went back, I did that, and I got that achievement. Nice. I played some Forza Horizon 5, just kind of cleaning some things up because I haven't done it. And I like playing Forza. It's a little, right. It's relaxing.
Okay, we're waiting for
it. We need to hear about this. Procession to Calvary.
Yeah.
Jesus, this is like a fucking Monty Python thing.
It is. Well, I don't know if that's actually, you know, produced or anything by anybody associated with Monty Python, but that's what it is. It's, well, like I said, I can only play, like, small bits of it at a time. It's kind of funny, but then it's also, you know, there's a lot of kind
so
of
back. What is the premise of the game?
I'm guessing you're a soldier in one of the battles of Bygone or whatever, and you've elected a new ruler, and you want to keep killing people, but now that the war's over, you can't kill people. So you go to the ruler and be like, hey, I want to keep committing murder. What can I do?
There are naked men on the screen right now.
Oh, yes, I'll get to that in a minute. So you go to the new ruler and be like, hey, how can I keep making murder? And he's like, well, why don't you go after the guy that I deposed? All right, because it's funny, because his name is Heavenly, oh shit, I can't remember now what the hell the guy's name is, but it turns out he's a real prick, even with the name of Heavenly, I don't want to call it John, but I don't, Peter, Heavenly Peter, I think what the guy's name was, the bad guy. Anyway, so you get to go off and kill this guy at the behest of your new ruler. And like I said, it's very Monty Python-like, if you've ever watched the old episodes of Monty mm-hmm. Python. So one of the first things you do is you have to get on a boat so the guy can take you to wherever this other guy is. Well, there's two naked guys sitting there wrestling. And it's funny because you click on it to whatever action, you want to talk to them or whatever. And it's funny because you can click on it and to talk to them, and the guy's like, nope, I don't want anything to do with that. And then you'll hit the hand function to see if you can, like, smack him or hit him with your sword or whatever. And he's like, nope, not going there. and there's a pile of clothes there. Minor spoiler, I guess, if you ever want to play the game. And you can pull up a pair of socks and take them for another part of the quest. And if you go back to this pile of clothes and go to click on it to get something else, the guy's like, I just stole their socks. I don't want to be greedy. So it's got some funny bits to it. But it's kind of slow because it is point and click. So
I don't know if this would be a game for me.
It looks like somebody's been to the Museum of Fine Arts and photographs of all the images, and it probably has actually. That's probably exactly what it is.
Yep.
And they've done a Monty Python animation sort of thing out of it. So,
yep, that's exactly what it is.
It's very quirky.
I played like 40 minutes or so before I finally had to quit, but I unlocked like 3 achievements. But so I'll go back and I'll play a little bit of it and, you know, play something else. But it's kind of funny. I mean, this one guy's talking about the guy on the boat. He's talking about how one time he had diarrhea so bad that when he shit over the side of the boat, it propelled him for like, I don't know how many miles because the shit was so bad. So, I mean, it's like I said, it's got funny bits, but I think it's something I can only take in small doses because it is very slow, because it's point and click and point and click, and not like Wolf Among Us point and click, which was fairly speedy. It's very slow.
Fair enough.
It's on Game Pass. So
Kim, let's move this forward, Kim. Okay. Let's talk about the most important game, the most important game you have played this week.
Which is also on Game Pass, by the way.
Yes.
And that is Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Also known as Robin.
Well, at least it's Robin this time and not me. So, Turnip Boy, and it's very cartoony. It's, you're a turnip boy, obviously. And yes, he sort of commits tax evasion because he doesn't pay his taxes. So now you're in Hawk.
This just sounds like a repeat of our podcast.
Right? So now you're in Hawk to the mayor, and now you're the mayor's lackey, and you've got to go do things for him. Like, this latest quest that I'm on is I have to go get, I think it's nuclear waste or something like that. So I don't know what this guy is planning, but he wanted the nuclear waste, and he wanted something else. And he wants a whole laundry list of stuff. And the thing through the game is they throw up like wanted signs and letters and stuff like that. So you go through there and you can either read these letters and then you rip them up. And like this one, he wanted to give a love letter to his girlfriend or whatever. So he gives it to Turnip Boy. And what's Turnip Boy do? Not only does you read the letter, but you rip it up. There's no other alternative. You can't deliver it, but you rip it up right in front of him. And the guy's like, you're an asshole, basically. And of course, Turnip Boy doesn't talk. I think he's mentally challenged in some way or something. I don't know. But I don't know. It's good for, you know, quick and easy achievements. So it's kind of funny in spots.
All I know is I found the new nickname for Robin. That's right, the most important thing that came from this. Like I said,
it's on Game Pass, so you know, if you want to give it a shot, go for it. So,
all right.
No.
By the way, yep. So a quick side note. You mentioned dark furry things, and this reminded me of something. Yesterday, while we were wine tasting, we discovered a baby bat.
Oh, I know.
It was sitting on the ground. My wife had like seen something move. She walked around the corner and saw this little baby bat on the ground. She, of course, being the kind spirit that she is trying to help this bat get back up onto trees and stuff. And I'm thinking, don't go near the bat. Bite you. Rabies, very prevalent. So, but we did eventually get the bat to fly up and attach itself to a tree, and then it started flying around and doing its thing, and it took off. But it was weird to see it out during the day. It looked very cute. It was very tiny.
Yeah, they do.
Until rabies. It bears its little teeth at you, and then it's not so cute.
Right.
All right. So for me, Halo multiplayer, continuing to play that, having a great time with it. But I played a couple new games this past week. So one is actually a fairly old game, Shadowrun Returns, which is it's a tactical turn-based strategy game. You're set in the Shadowrun universe. You're playing a Netrunner. It's very Blade Runner-esque. In terms of kind of the story, and you're going through trying to find who killed your partner, or well, not really a partner. It's basically an associate of yours. And you know, this is minor spoilers. The very setup of the game, the premise of the game is you start the game, he dies, but sends you a letter basically saying, hey, I've died, but I want you to find my killer. And so that's the setup premises, you know, for the game. And then from there you go about, you know, there's a lot of kind of like detective work where you're investigating crime scenes and you're kind of analyzing clues or trying to, you know, put clues together to draw conclusions to find who this killer is. And then every once in a while you get into combat. The combat is very turn-based, you know, kind of XCOM-like, but not as advanced as XCOM. And I will say, this game is it's a lot slower paced than an XCOM or Gears of War Tactics. And so it's not quite hitting it out of the park for me like those games did. And I think it's because the story elements and how they introduce them for you, it is slower. It's not really voice acted. So it's a lot of text reading. I like it. I'm not in love with it. But yeah, so Shadowrun Returns. It's all right. That's the back of the box quote.
It's all right.
It's all right. Yeah.
Now, my new love. I was on the Steam sale. I'm like looking around. I'm like, you know, I want to see if I can find something to load up on my Steam Deck. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really finding anything that jumped off at me that I wanted to get. And then I saw Police Simulator.
Oh my God.
And I said, you know what? I need to get this game. Even if it won't run on my Steam Deck, I need to get this game. Mm-hmm. So I bought it. I installed it on my PC. But I have also successfully installed it on the Steam Deck, and it runs great. So it's not a verified game on Steam Deck, but it runs great. So if you have a Steam Deck and you're looking for something that's different, Police Simulator, it's in early access, so they're still building the game out. Mm-hmm. But my God, this game scratches this weird itch for me where you play the role of a beat cop. The first mission for you is to go on a shift and walk around town handing out parking tickets and litter tickets, you know, violations for littering. And so you see people littering, you detain them, you ask them for their ID, you know, and sometimes their ID comes back and it's not matching, it's fake. And so you can then, you know, basically give them a ticket above and beyond just the ticket for littering, but you give them a ticket for a fake ID. I had one person run away from me and I deployed my stun gun, not my gun, my stun gun. I was smart, and shot them with a taser. And then I handcuffed them, had a patrol car come and get them. And it evolves. So as you get experience, you evolve your patrol abilities. So like I have a radar gun now. I just unlocked being able to go into a patrol car now and actually pull other drivers over.
Can you be a bad cop?
You can. In that you can illegally detain people. You can do, you know, things that will basically get you in trouble. So it very much will be fighting you.
You can't kneel on someone's neck or anything like that there.
No. There's no kneeling on necks, thankfully. Mm. But you can detain DLC. People illegally. You can just walk up to somebody random, ask them, you know, give me your ID, detain them. You could arrest them, but you will get demerits basically. And so that will work against you. You may lose levels if you are a bad cop for a long enough time. But this game is just fun. And so I was playing it on the Steam Deck and playing it on my PC, very much just enjoying it. It runs fairly well. It runs, you know, well enough for my PC and my Steam Deck, certainly. But there are some rough edges. It's not a finished game. So if you do get it, just know going in, it's early access.
Okay.
But what a little gem. I just laugh because I did not know just how satisfying a feeling it would be to when somebody's like, you know, you stop them for littering and, you know, everybody does it. Who cares? And you're like, fuck you, ticket. Because you can let people off with a verbal warning. And you're justified for, but depending upon the response I get, I'm doling out tickets or I'm giving them a verbal warning. So, yeah, it is surprisingly detailed in terms of the procedures on what you can do and what you can't do. They very much did some homework around actual legal methods in terms of detaining somebody, asking for their ID. Needing probable cause to frisk them and search them on the spot. So, you know, those kinds of things come into play. Talking to somebody and suddenly you notice he has dilated pupils and he's acting a little funny on the spot frisk.
So, okay, as games progress, okay, as they get harder, you know, when you play a game, it gets progressively harder. So how does this game get progressively harder?
So it will be the types of patrol work you're doing. So you're going to then, you know, involve, it evolves. And again, well, let me just backtrack. Different types of encounters. So accidents, robberies, you know, you will probably go on, you know, Richard warrants
on the screen right now,
you know, searching for warrants, that kind of thing. It evolves in that notion. I'm sure they will build a single player narrative into it as well. It's not there yet, but it's just for whatever reason. I mean, it just is hitting me in just the right spot. I've just been very much enjoying it. And there will also be other boroughs you can go to. So you start off in a very small kind of, you know, a little easier borough, and then you'll go to other places where more crimes are different types of crimes are being committed. And so, you know, again, you have to respond accordingly. Deploying your gun is not always going to be justified. So you can't just go around shooting everybody. And funny, when your shift ends, you have to return to the station. You know, they make you go to the station and then they give you the after action report. So you get a list of all the different, you know, arrests and tickets you gave out and whether they were justified or not justified, that kind of thing. So
it's funny. It's an interesting,
it's a quirky little game. It's a quirky little game. It works with keyboard and mouse or full gamepad. And that's why it works well on the Steam Deck. And I just don't think that anybody's bothered to test it on Steam Deck from Valve yet. But, I mean, it runs perfectly fine. And again, all the controls work on a gamepad, so it translates perfectly for the Steam Deck. The one knock I would say for the Steam Deck side of it is the text can be a bit small. And this is my problem with a lot of other games on the Steam Deck is that sometimes the text is a bit small, but just put on a pair of cheater glasses and you're going to be fine. Or where what you guys have on
something
now.
Something different.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for the games. Let's talk about... we'll do the news first.
Here is the fucking news.
And I am Barney Fife. Hell yeah. All right. News. Hey, God of War got a release date. What do you know? People have been clamoring, wondering if it was going to get a release date or not for this year. It is, in fact, coming on November 9th. Not a lot of details given, obviously, other than this release date. It was a kind of a blog post. So I'm excited
God of
for
War 2?
Ragnarok. Sorry, God of War Ragnarok, yes. I mean, technically God of War 2. But yeah, so God of War Ragnarok, November 9th, 2022. Which then led into the next story. Forspoken has been delayed.
Oh, boy.
Forspoken is delayed now to January 24th. So for the second time this year, Square Enix is delaying Forspoken. And so this is the funny part. Their quote from Square Enix: as a result of ongoing discussions with key partners, we've made a strategic decision to move the launch date of Forspoken to January 24th. All the game elements are now complete and development is in its final polishing phase. To me, this was, oh shit, God of War is coming out in November. We need to move this game out of the window of God of War. So I know originally it was supposed to be on October 11th, but my guess is PlayStation even themselves are just like, you know what, look, let's move this game into January, get it out of the window for God of War and clear the pathway. So there you go. If you were really looking forward to Forspoken, it's not that big of a wait. You're just a beginning of the year. Either of you excited for this game?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, okay. Not like massively, or I mean, it's not Fable, but it does look interesting. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I think everybody's more excited for God of War Ragnarok, if we're being honest.
Right.
Yeah. A game I'm kind of excited for and kind of not excited for. Skull and Bones. Also arriving in November on the 8th of November. So it'll be interesting to see how this fares going up against God of War. But Ubisoft finally showed off a kind of re-emerged Skull and Bones with a new cinematic trailer. And then they did this developer gameplay stream after. And I've got thoughts on that. So let's just talk about that real quickly. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of it. But I didn't feel like the gameplay, showing off of the gameplay, did this game any justice. It was just kind of like uninspired streaming. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a good streamer showing you kind of in being excited about playing a game, mm-hmm. it just came across as being kind of very mediocre in terms of the gameplay excitement. And also kind of complicated. And I don't know if it is as complicated as they made it out to be, but let me just say the stream did not excite me. The gameplay reveal trailer and some of the cinematic stuff I saw, that has me a little bit more, you know, hyped for it. But we'll definitely see. This is coming to the Series X and S, the PlayStation 5, Steam via the Epic Game Store, and then Google Stadia and Amazon Luna, as well as Ubisoft Connect. So it's pretty much coming to everybody. Now, the important bits. Not only is it coming on November 8th, but it is an open world game. It will have online co-op experience elements with it. There will also be a PvP element to the game, so you can do kind of the Sea of Thieves battling versus people online.
It looks very pretty. The battles look brilliant here.
Yeah. The core game is all about climbing the ranks to become an infamous pirate. Sounds kind of familiar. You're going to be sailing in the Indian Ocean. It'll all be, you know, crafting, managing assets, obviously battling and strategizing, you know, in terms of your not only your ship, but your co-op partnerships. You will start with a small ship, and then obviously as you progress, get a bigger ship.
Of course.
It's kind of like life. let's see. The crafting does look like it gets pretty intricate with the ships. You can kind of create very custom-looking ships. with some very interesting things. That they showed a flamethrower on the stream, which at first I was like, flamethrowers? Okay, honestly, flamethrower doesn't seem like that was realistic. But apparently the Greeks back in the old days had more or less flamethrowers on their ships. So I guess it was a thing.
Flamethrowers on wooden boats. That's a great idea.
You know what?
What could go wrong?
Effective. What could go wrong? anyway, you will have to manage your crew. They can, if they get unhappy enough, you know, have a mutiny against you. If the ship sinks, okay, players start over and can recover their cargo as long as another pirate doesn't get there first, which that seems like that might be very frustrating. Yeah. I know Sea of Thieves is kind of very similar, that a lot of people frustrate, you know, when they're early in the game and somebody else comes along and just starts to kind of antagonizing them and then makes off with their stuff after they kill them and loot their ship. This was the interesting last tidbit, and this was something I learned through the stream, but there's no actual combat, as in on-foot combat. So unlike like Black Flag, where you could jump on a ship and you would have sword fights and, you know, there was combat even outside of the ship on the land. You know, you go to an island or whatever, you would have fights there, that kind of thing. That is not present in the game. So my understanding is, you know, you'll conduct like raids on settlements, where you'll send your crew members to attack, but you won't actually go and physically do that yourself. Potentially disappointing. I don't know. We'll have to see how it works out in the actual game. But yeah, Skull and Bones. Who's excited for this?
Well, I'm just sitting there thinking, how is it any different from Thieves other than less cartoony?
Definitely less cartoony. I mean, it's very much more realistic.
Right.
The big difference, think, is in terms of the large ships, you still can you can control them by yourself. Whereas in Sea of Thieves, you really, once you get into the big ships, you need multiple people. Mm-hmm. Here, you'll still be able to control it all just as a single player. So there's that.
I suppose, this came from Assassin's Creed Black Flag and the enjoyment that was the battles, and that's developed from there. So I enjoyed that bit. So we'll see. Maybe there's enough depth to it to enjoy it. I don't know.
Right.
Don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. We shall see. Real quick update for Hitman 3, a game that everybody should have played by now. Speaking to the chat, Hitman 3 has a new free Ambrose Island DLC that's coming on July 26th. Ironically, it's pirate themed. So you are going to a pirate's island, although I have to imagine these are modern day pirates. E3, the show that we thought was dead, it's coming back. Yeah. It's not dead after all. The team behind PAX apparently is being hired on to deploy E3, which that's actually encouraging, because the PAX shows, from everything I've ever seen, have been received very well from your from a gamer's perspective. And so these events, you know, will now be run by the team behind PAX. I think that's going to help E3 out a lot from, again, gamer's perspective. I know a lot of people still say, do we really need E3 at this point? The physical events, I'm of two minds, because I like the celebration of games.
For the fans.
I don't know that I need a physical event, but I like having a bunch of press conferences and stuff in like a week's time frame to kind of generate the hype. So, right. Now let me ask you this. If E3 does come back in person, is this something either of you would ever want to go to?
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, if there's a big group of us going, then yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think we need to start making our plans. Just saying.
Yes.
All right. Okay. E3. All right. Kim, you alluded to this earlier. Maybe we'll have you talk about this. Xbox 360 games.
Really? You know? Let me, wrong way. Sorry. There was an email that went out, and as of October, there will no longer be 360 games in the Xbox Games with Gold. Apparently, they've reached their limit to the ability to bring Xbox 360 games to the catalog. So, I mean, I don't know what that's going to mean necessarily. If that means we'll get more Xbox One games, I mean, I don't know if they'll give us three of those, just two. I'd be happy with just two, but whatever. It says, however, Games with Gold will continue to include exciting Xbox One titles and exclusive savings each month. So, and I mean, I know there was people that were complaining and would rather see Xbox Games with Gold go by the wayside or maybe get swallowed up with Game Pass. Right. But, yeah. It says the
kind of is.
Yeah.
Kind of is.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So this is weird on a couple fronts for me.
Right.
I mean, I think we all collectively groan a little bit every time we would see the Games with Gold coming out. We would see that Xbox 360 title in there that we had never heard of before. We're kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, I'm always all for getting something, especially if I'm paying for a service, getting something additional.
Right.
I'm struck a little bit by Microsoft saying they've ended, you know, they've reached the ability of their, you know, ability to bring 360 games to the catalog. So with Games with Gold, they would offer up a game for a set period of time, and then if you didn't, you didn't claim it within that period of time, it would go away, and you couldn't claim it anymore.
Right.
Why couldn't they just regurgitate some of these titles? You know, it seems like
some of them they have, because, like I said, Torchlight this month, it's been on there before, and I think we've had one or two others that have been on before. So,
and I don't hate the notion of some of these titles coming back around, because there are new people coming into these services. So I just found it odd that it's like, no, we're just going to kill this off, and we're only going to look at, you know, obviously Xbox One games or current titles. I'm assuming we're going to maybe get three. We will certainly won't be getting four anymore.
Right.
We were talking about that in the chat, Kim, and we were kind of like, is it going to be four? Is it going to be two? And hopefully it's the happy medium of three.
I'd be okay with that.
But yeah, I don't know. Does this drastically impact either one of you, though, in the big scheme of it?
No, not really. I mean, you know, we're still getting free games. It's just they won't be 360 games. So
I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, right.
I think I am. All right. Last story.
Of course.
And possibly the biggest story. PUBG finally getting a PS5 and an Xbox Series X upgrade. After almost 2 years, they will be bringing actually quite a few updates to the game. And that launches July 12th, so just a couple days away. The big one in terms of the actual next-gen consoles is you'll have the ability to play PUBG at 4K, 60 frames per second, as well as toggle between two types of anti-aliasing, which is FXAA, or Fast Approximate Anti-Aliasing, or TAA, Temporal Anti-Aliasing. I don't know what either one of those do.
Look at you go with the big words.
Yeah. But look, their options, a previous, you know, in this now will lock the game at the higher resolution, which is great because it would dynamically shift down from time to time. And there's some differences and variations on the resolution between the consoles. I'm not going to get into all of that. The other aspects to the update, a new map called Destin, and it's kind of like a swamp area. And with that, they're introducing some new vehicles and gameplay features. So there's a new Ascender ability, which basically is like a fast rope. So you can scale up tall buildings. They'll have security doors that will have basically an access key. If you find an access key to a security door inside the room, will be kind of better loot. Better loot is always a good thing. They'll have a fuel pump, which basically is a fast refill on the car.
Oh, thank God vehicle. You explained that, because I'm sitting there thinking, what the hell is a fuel pump for? I mean, besides the obvious.
Yeah. They also have a new weapon in the game. It's the O-12, which is basically a high-capacity shotgun.
Yep.
It is the, quote-unquote, world's fastest shotgun. And then an airboat, which actually I love this idea. The airboat, it can travel on land or water, so you won't have to worry about switching vehicles when you go onto different terrain. So that could make for some craziness. But yeah, who doesn't love a good airboat? Anyway, so that's coming. So if you like your PUBG, you get to play it. All right.
Sweet.
Now, the moment we've all been waiting for.
All right, now everybody get settled. Get away from the windows. Now look, good. It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad.
What day? What will you torture me with today?
Well, Kim, both of you are going to be playing another fun round of Fund It, Buy It, Bin It. So here's the deal. We'll start with you, Kim. Because I've been mean to you in the past, it's an easy one for you. Okay? Kim, you are an executive. You're sitting on the TV series Shark Tank. You're all about getting entrepreneurs coming to the show and giving you these concepts. And so you get to choose between three different concepts that could make you a ton of money. And you get to fund one, which is you will invest long term into this company and you will reap the benefits of it over time. You will be able to buy into one for just a kind of one-time sale. So you will get kind of that one-time monetary investment back. And then the other one, you will bin it to where it will never see the light of day, which means it would never be part.
Fund one, which is you will invest.
Thank you for that. All right. So, Kim, your choices.
Okay.
The ShamWow towel.
Oh, shit.
The George Foreman grill. And the clapper.
Oh, boy.
Which of these three ingenious devices would you fund, buy, or bin?
Okay. I would definitely bin the ShamWow towel because...
ShamWow?
Yeah.
Go into the bin.
ShamWow. Yeah, we'll bin that sucker. I will... I will... buy the George Foreman grill.
All right. So you're in on the initial?
Yeah. I will do the grill, and then whatever the second one was, I'll do the clapper, because let's face it, we all have Alexa now, or most of us do, so I'm not real sure how, you know, how well that would go over, but it's probably more useful than the ShamWow. So.
Alexa.
So, yeah.
All right.
Didn't do anything.
No. Thank God. That was not painful, unlike the others. That's, I was figuring you were going to be able to...
I was taking it easy on this week, Kim. Robin, you are a different story.
Uh-oh.
Robin, imagine yourself as a movie executive.
Okay.
You are being pitched.
Is there the a couch?
There could be a couch involved. You never know. But you're being pitched some of the works of a fabulous, fantastic... actor who shares the same name as you, Mr. Robin Williams. Now, there are three different movie screens, screenplays that they want to pitch to you, Robin, and you have to make the hard decision of which are you going to fund it, as in you think this could be more than just one movie. It could be a long-term investment. You're going to buy into one. And the other will never see the light of day, so we will never actually get to view this wonderful piece of art. So the first movie, Patch Adams. The next movie, Good Morning Vietnam. Hmm. And the final movie, Mrs. Doubtfire. So.
Mrs. Doubtfire will never see the light of day. Patch Adams, what are the other two again? Sorry, what are the other two?
Patch Adams and Good Morning Vietnam.
And what do I have to do with those?
You either have to fund one, as in you think it could become something more than just a single movie. And then the other, you're just going to buy into it for the one release.
Buy into it one for the one release, Patch Adams. I didn't like Patch Adams. I loved it until the end. Because I have a sister-in-law who deals with those people. And that's scary. It's scary what she does with, because she has to... has to phone in before she goes into their house, and phone, and if she's there for too long, the police come in. So she deals with Good Morning Vietnam. I don't know how they would ever make a sequel, but those are pretty tough movies, actually. You know,
right?
Because Patsy, I mean, those were serious ones. Mrs. Doubtfire, yes, absolutely, it should see the light of day. God damn it! That's when. Men could dress up as women, and we laughed at it, and we never thought anything more of it. And now, God, you couldn't make that movie now. God damn it. Patch Adams, This isn't funny. This is serious. I love, okay, Good Morning Vietnam, I absolutely love. But again, it's tainted with sadness as well at the end of it. God. Mrs. Doubtfire has a sequel in it. It does. It has a sequel in it. Definitely.
Okay.
Good Morning Vietnam and Patch Adams don't. But Patch
so
Adams.
You're now funding Mrs. Doubtfire.
I am.
Okay.
It's purely financial thing. It would sell like.
So which movie then do you kill and never sees the light of day?
Patch Adams.
Patch Adams. Wow. That's tough. They're all three fantastic movies.
I mean, the Good Morning Vietnam soundtrack alone is worth it. Yeah. It's fabulous.
Yep.
Good morning, Vietnam. Oh, my God. It's only another thing. Anyway, yeah, it's really good.
All right. Yeah, excellent. Lovely.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Well done, stuff. The two of you.
Wow, challenging.
Thank you.
Challenging. Challenging mode.
Right?
I had to give you a tough one, Robin and Kim. Hopefully that was indeed as easy as it seemed.
I appreciate it. I was worried you were going to make me pick my three favorite cats or something, and boy, oh, boy.
That's next week. Okay. All right. Kim, that is actually time for new releases.
All righty. See if I can do a better job with this than the monthly free games. We'll see how it goes. Your new releases?
Whoa, stop, Kim. Stop.
Oh.
Greg.
Yep. What?
Gone in 60 Seconds. Fast and the Furious. Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh.
Hmm. Okay. This is so easy in the one I will fund is the Fast and Furious because it has just a shit ton of money to be made. It's got the legacy is there. The tougher is who do you bin? Is it Gone in 60 Seconds or is it Smokey and the Bandit? And I think I'm going to bin Gone in 60 Seconds.
Ooh.
And I will buy into Smokey and the Bandit.
My God.
Yeah.
There's nowhere that boy came from my loins. When I get home, I'm going to smack your mama in the mouth. Cool.
All right. Well done.
All right.
Kim.
Now new releases.
Yeah.
That was actually pretty good. I think you made the right choices there. All right. For July 10th through the 16th, we have Garden Story for the Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One on July 12th. And from the looks of it, I say that's very much like Turnip Boy. At least animation-wise, that's what it looks like. And I think it's going to be on Game Pass. So there you go. Time on Frog Island for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on July 12th as well. I have no idea what that one's about. So, anyway. Loopmancer for PC, July 13th. Escape Academy for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on July 14th. I think that's also on Game Pass. Eyes in the Dark, The Curious Case of One Victoria Bloom for PC on July 14th.
Too late.
Too late, Robin, but you tried. Rune Factory 5 for PC on July 15th as well, and I think those are all your new releases for this week.
They are indeed. Thank you for that, Kim.
Sure.
Hey, if you are around on Wednesday nights, we're still doing it. Wednesday night Halo night. It is always open, so if you want to come out, hang out, play some Halo, we are going to be doing it this Wednesday. Right around
Corsa Competizione. I'll set up a lobby.
There you go. You can listen to Robin curse. 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. And again, we don't really care about the Central Time Zone. All right, Kim. On that depressing news that we don't care about the Central Time Zone as much as we should, let's do some shout-outs. Let's shout out the chats. Let's give some love to whoever you want to give some love to.
All
right. Let's start the closing.
We'll get this started. Shout-out to the chat. We've had Boomer and Lord in there today, and they've done a really good job of keeping good things lads. Going.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We really appreciate when people show up in the chat.
Yep.
Like I said, shout-out to you guys. As always, like I said, you've put up with my complaining about stressful situations and whatnot, and the fact I haven't been on here for almost a month. So I appreciate that as well. I don't know. Oh, shout out to my nephews who are on their way home. They are now actually back in Missouri from our, they went through Oklahoma and Arkansas, but they're now back in Missouri, so safe trip home. And other than that, hope everybody has a good week this week. Hopefully it's not too damn hot, because I know here it's been up in the hundreds, and then it's felt like 110 degrees in the shade and all that sort of nonsense, but it's summer. And I would rather have that than it freezing cold. So so I'm not going to complain too much. And over to Robin.
Yeah, this is fun. I like coming on the show. It's good. Yeah. Oh, Lord, it's got to be a boomer day. Say it again. End of quote. Repeat the line. I'm done.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Shout out to Robin. Shout out to Kim. Thank you both for making the show. As always, great to have you on the show. And it's a good laugh. So I always enjoy my time here. Obviously, shout out to the community. We do love all of you, even if you're more like a stepbrother, stepchild kind of situation. We still care for you. Shout out to Mark and his lovely wife, Jenny. I hope they start feeling better. They got back from holiday kind of broken. So hopefully they are on the mend feeling
sexy
better.
Time.
Yeah. Shout out to Richard Webster. You know, again, coming in, filling in for last week. He threw the notion out of possibly coming on the show. We never got the confirmation. But we do know that his porn stash is indeed still in good shape. So,
and then follow his stash on Twitter. It has its
yes,
own
it definitely follow his stash on Twitter. Shout out to Pete, who apparently a little too much deep throating. Pete, he had a sore throat, so he couldn't come on the show today. Just resist the urge, Pete. That's what the cock cage is for. All right, that's it. I got nothing else. Love everybody. We're out of here. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.